Good morning, everyone. Come on in. Get all my screens set up. And you might be shocked to see I'm wintering again, which means my hair is back. It is not finished yet, though. I would just like everybody to know Corinne has a giant head, just like her husband. And she came with three packs of hair. I'm not sure. I can't remember how many packs of hair she brought. But she was like, we're gonna need more hair. So I have kind of a mullet right now. So I'm having to wear it up a little bit. She's coming back tomorrow with more hair, putting more in, that kind of thing. And I know a lot of you like my short hair, a lot of you like my long hair. I like all of my hair. I like to wear it different ways. I get super bored with my hair real easy, always have. Ever since I was little, I've always changed it up a lot. Like I went through perm phase. Like that was not a good look for Corinne. I don't mind a good perm. I actually love curly hair, but my perms never looked good. They look like I don't know. They just never looked good. They never worked with my hair. Plus, I also have blonde hair. In order to stay blonde, I have to do the bleach. So I have to be real careful these days. Like, as I'm turning 50, I'm like, I need hair longevity. So, extensions it is. All right. Yeah, my perms never looked good. Everybody's like, yeah, I didn't have a good perm. I had several people that in my family that perms actually looked really good on them, but I was not one of them. All right. And we're going to get started today. Today is one of my favorite classes. We save the best to last. We're going to talk about the time wasters. There are like the biggest time wasters. There's 11 of them, and that is what I'm going to be teaching you today. And I think some of them are going to be so shocking and so surprising. And I really hope for all of you that you have gotten so much out of this month. Time management is one of the things that I love teaching. I like teaching it because I just feel like of all the things in my life that I've done well, learning how to manage my time and use my time wisely has been probably the difference maker in everything. But I think a lot of people think that I sit around and I must be gung-ho, motivated, just super determined, in a good mood to do all my stuff all the time. And that is not the case. Like, one of the things that about time is it's most of the people who are really successful in managing their time, they have a lot of dread. They just don't act on it. They don't want to do things, but they do them anyway, even though it's not fun, even though it's hard in the moment. I think the people that I see that waste a lot of time, it's I'm wasting time waiting for it all to be easy. I'm wasting time waiting to feel like it. I'm wasting time thinking I should be motivated. I should be doing these things. We waste so much time there and we don't even realize it. People who get a lot done, I promise you, are in no better mood than you are. No better mood than you are. I did not want to get up this morning. I never want to get up in the morning. People are always shocked, but like, I just wish I was one of them morning people. Morning people do not bounce out of bed. You know what morning people do? Drag their ass out of bed because they know that first thing in the morning is the most opportune time for them to get things done. Well, I am just like you. If I could get enough shit done during the day, I would sleep in every fucking morning to the last minute. I would push everything off. If I could get everything done in a 3-hour time span during the day, guess what I would do? I'd work 3 hours a day. I'd sleep the first half. I'd like during that 3 hours, I'd probably work out, clean my house, and get my work done. And then I would sit and do nothing the rest of the day. Like, this is the thing. Like, you know, in order for me to be an early morning person, it's not because I love being up first thing in the morning. I never want to get out of bed. I do not enjoy getting out of bed. But I also know this is the best time for me to do my shit. It's uninterrupted. It happens to be when my brain works the clearest. I actually can get more done. My focus is a lot easier first thing in the morning. I am very scatterbrained the later on in the day it gets. Once we get past about 12 o'clock, it's really hard for me to focus. I spend any time that I'm working from like 12 until around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's about half as productive as the first part of the day. I catch myself diddling a lot. I catch myself looking at other things. I'm easily distracted. If Chris walks by, I run out of the office. I have to work harder the second half of the day to stay focused. So I know that if I start the day early, when my brain doesn't have too much going on, I can just get a lot more done. And then I can plan my second half of the day knowing it's not going to be nearly as productive. And I don't judge myself for that. And I don't think that the afternoons should have equal value to the mornings. I just don't do all of that stuff. I have also noticed that my time changes over time. One thing that has been happening lately, and this is just a season where I am pretty much toast from about 2 to 4. So I stopped from 2 to 4 trying to do a lot of work, but I'm now working from 4 to 6. We have backed up, backed out when Chris comes downstairs because I catch a second wind at 4. So I get up about 4:45 in the mornings. I work for a while. Then I do a lot of meetings during the day. I take a couple of hours break, but then I go back at it for a little bit. So I just am real, like one of the things that I want to pass on to y'all, and I realize I have flexibility in terms of being able to take a break for a couple of hours in the afternoon. If you're a teacher, if you're a nurse, if you know you're a doctor, whatever, you don't have that kind of flexibility, but I also don't have days off. I also know for me, I don't take days off. It's really hard for me to not work every single day. It's actually better for my overall quality of life to get work done every single day. Because if I plug in, and Chris likes to work every day, if on Saturdays and Sundays I work 4 or 5 hours, maybe 4 or whatever, it's a lot easier for me to relax because I've taken care of things. So for all of you, I just want you to think about as much as you possibly can at the season of life that you're in, whether that is you have lots of responsibility, no responsibility, you have a big ass job, maybe you are in the throes of young babies right now. We all have different seasons. When Logan was little, I was a complete different season. Most of my time was taken up with Logan. Even when he was in school, I had, from the time I dropped him off until I had to pick him up to work out and build my business, because once I picked him up, it was on like Donkey Kong with Logan until his ass went to sleep at night. We had therapy appointments. We had doctor's appointments. Like, you know, Logan had tutoring every single day. I ran his ass everywhere. During that season, I had to make other sacrifices. I had to figure shit out. So being productive and managing your time has a lot to do with not having a lot of expectations as to how things should be. You have to decide, this is the season we're in, and this is the way it's going to be. Okay, so I want to make a couple announcements, and then we're going to talk about the 11 biggest time wasters that we all have. The first one is we are rolling out a brand new program starting today for all of you. I just want to kind of introduce it, and then we're going to roll on. And I'm actually going to read my notes because my team gave me the exact notes because I don't want to fuck it up. So number one is if you go to nobiaswomen.com, that is just your membership site/referrals, R-E-F-E-R-R-A-L-S, you will find it also under the FAQ My Account menu on the menu bar. So it's nobiaswomen.com/referrals, or you can go to the FAQ My Account on the menu. You can now refer a friend to NoBS, and it's just 3 simple steps. Number one, if somebody asks you, how much weight are you losing? How are you losing weight? you now will be able to give them your unique link, and that will be at the top of the page. So when you go to FAQ, my account on the menu, you're now going to have your own link. Step two, you give it to your friend, and your friend now uses your link to sign up for No BS. And then step three is very simple. Within 2 weeks after your friend signs up, you're going to get an email from me and my team. And that means your membership account is now going to be credited for 1 month of free membership. So for each person you recommend and you give them a link and they're here for 2 weeks, you will get a free month of membership. That's a pretty good deal. So for all of you that are constantly getting asked, like, what are you doing? What is this? Like, what's happening? All this other kind of stuff. Now, like, you of course can still send them the free course. So if you just send them to nobsweightloss.com, they can always take our free course. If you prefer to give them the free course to try before you buy, you can also still recommend the podcast and things like that. But if you have people who are interested in signing up, all you have to do now is give them your unique link. And then for each person, when they join and they are here for 2 weeks, we will credit you a month of membership. So that is our gift to y'all. It's also a really good way for y'all to be, people write in all the time, how can I help No BS? I love y'all. I want more women to do this. What can I do for you? This is one of the ways that you can do it and that you can also help yourself. So let's say you've got 12 friends and they've all been just like, girl, what is going on? Like, you be eating foods that you love and it looks like you're losing weight and you seem to be in a fucking better mood. You ain't coming in here bitching all the time. You say, well, it is because I am a No BS woman. And you get your crew to sign up, you'd get a whole year of membership. So there you go. You are welcome, No BS. Now, this is the last week of our October monthly focus, Master Your Time, Master Your Weight Loss. So every single week we've had a live Q&A where I have taught you my tricks, my tips, my hacks, giving you my personal insights. I've shown you my calendar. I've done all the things to help you manage your time. So you could, after this month, it will now go into the website. So it's been underneath this month. Next month, it's going to change over. The focus is going to move over to handling the holidays, reloaded. So if you've taken handling the holidays in the past, the course is going to be there. Plus, every Wednesday during the month, I'm going to be doing special focus calls. Week one, we're going to talk about how to ditch the diet drama this holiday season. Week two is 'tis the season for change. We're going to be talking all about how do you deal with brand new family traditions. You might have kids that have left the nest and they are now dating someone and they're like, mama, I've done Christmas with you every year since I was born. I'm going to Johnny's this year. His family, they want to meet me, and you are freaking out. Maybe you got a divorce this last year. Maybe your parents divorced this last year. Maybe somebody in your family passed away, and all the traditions are changing. We're going to talk about that. Then the third week, we're going to do the Picture Perfect holiday. We're going to talk about negative body image and how to handle it during the holidays. In case you, for a lot of you, you've lost weight this year and you're going to go back and people are going to notice and you might not be comfortable with it. Or maybe you're newer to No BS and you've gained weight this year and you hadn't seen these people since last year and you need to prepare for what that's going to be like. We're going to talk about all of it that week. The fourth week, we're going to talk about how to handle the family assholes. Not everybody has assholes in their family, but a lot of us, we go to dinners and parties and social events and stuff. And there's always some friend, some dude, some chick, somebody who is just a nutcase and they just say shit that should not be rolling out somebody's mouth. We're going to talk about all of that. Yes, this is all for November. And then the last week of November, because there's a bonus week in November, we are going to be doing a class with Kathy Hartman on allowing grief. She's going to teach you the 3 steps for coping with losses. So that's going to be everything that we are doing in November. So we're going to wrap up today with finishing, managing your time, managing your mind. And then that course will then be inside the membership for you to take at any time that you would like. It will stay for you. All right. So let's talk about the biggest time wasters. Number one, and if y'all have questions, you can pop them into the Q&A and Coach Lisa will be over there answering questions. And if it's about time, I will grab those while we were going. All right. So the first one is not getting enough sleep. This is one of the biggest time wasters. A lot of times people shirk their sleep thinking that that is going to like buy them more time. But what happens is studies actually show that when you're not getting enough sleep, your brain doesn't work as well when it's tired. So throughout the day, things that require like executive functioning skills with like presenting a class is one of them, going to meetings, doing Excel spreadsheets, formatting things. Like today, I have meetings all the way until 2 o'clock today. So when I finish with y'all, I don't get a break until about 2. Well, after 2 o'clock, I'll eat my lunch. And then I've got to work on the slides for camp. So if you don't know, for the journaling camp that's coming up in, I believe, 3 weeks, which is one reason why the hair is back in. Also, I've been ordering clothes, trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to wear on stage. I almost let y'all vote on some things, but I was like, man, what if they pick something I'd like sit in all day long and I freeze my ass off or the mic pack don't work right? I was like, maybe that's not the best choice ever since I kind of know what works on stage and what doesn't. So I've got to do these keynotes all day long. And it's in this place called Canva where you design things. And it's a lot of making sure things aesthetically look correct. It's making sure there's no typos. It's aligning stuff. It's like designing slides and things like that. So I'm working on that this afternoon. If I'm tired, like really tired, I'm likely to miss things. It's going to take me longer. It's going to be harder for me to get it done. I'm better off rather than shorting myself a half hour of sleep. I'm better off getting the half hour of sleep so that when I do mental taxing work, I'm working faster. So when you are short on sleep, it's a time waster because you're likely to make more mistakes. So that means you're having double work. It's harder to think and make critical decisions. And then your motivation also goes down significantly when you're tired. I just want you to think about it. When you're tired, are you really gung-ho to go do anything? Or are you just gung-ho to get your ass into the bed? So we want to make sure we're getting enough sleep. Number two, the biggest time waster is giving everything equal importance. So last week, I don't have my flip chart in here, but if you watch last week's call, at the very end, I did something called the priority matrix, which means you take and you make a list of like every little thing that you need to do. And then when you make that list, what most of us do, let's say I've got a list and it's got like all these things. All right. So here's my list, right? And then I'm going to have a big thought about this list. So this is the world's ugliest doodle, but like here is a thought about my list. Most of us think, oh my God, all of this is important. How am I ever going to get this done? I have to do all of it. We have these very dramatic thoughts about our lists. And here's what's not true. I've never met anyone with a list where every single thing had to be done. Now, I've met a lot of people that think that. But then when I say, your kid just went to the emergency room and they've broke their leg, You have 1 hour before you can leave the house. Do what you can, and then we're off to the emergency room. Guess what happens to that list? Suddenly, Priorities Central comes flying in. You're all of a sudden thinking about the things that you absolutely need to do because you're fixing to go to the emergency room and you don't know how long you're going to be there and you don't know what life's going to be like when you get back. So now that list has a priority. What most of us don't do is allow ourselves to believe that that list can be prioritized. We have a lot of judgments, and what stops us from it is we have a lot of judgments about ourselves. What does it mean about me if I don't do all of this? Well, it means I'm lazy. It means, you know, everybody will think I don't have my shit together. That stuff is what's standing in your way of prioritizing. So you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. You need to be looking at your lists and really understanding what is really important and what absolutely can wait. What would be nice to do, but it doesn't have to get done? What are the things that I really, like, I would love to get these things done, but I keep putting this other shit on my list because I don't want to let people down. I don't want people to think bad about me. I don't want to look like I'm lazy. I don't want somebody to think I'm not a good mother or a good wife. That's your ego talking. That's not priorities talking. That's not your best self talking. That's your insecurities talking. So, not everything is going to be equally important. And a time waster is when you make them all equally important, then you set yourself up for indecision, procrastination, and confusion. Oh, and I hope a heap of overwhelm on top. Because I want you to think about it. If your list doesn't have priorities, it's really easy to sit back and say, I don't know which one to do. I don't know where to start. This is a lot. What if I pick the wrong one? Priorities keep you out of the wilted flower syndrome. It's just like when you look at no BS. I coach people this all the time. There's just so much no BS work to do. And I'm like, well, tell me all this no BS work there is to do. And people will tell me so much horseshit. And I'm like, but what is the priority? I don't know. You know, I can't come to Sunday calls. I go to church. It's like, okay, then Sunday calls are not a priority. Why are we even fucking talking about it? Why is your brain even thinking you're supposed to be doing that? Your ass is probably supposed to be in the pew, not sitting here attending a live call, because that's not a priority. You know what the priority is? Church. And then when you go, don't eat whatever Martha brought because she had extra berries and was making a crumble and said, I know you like this. The priority is to walk into church and not eat when you ain't hungry. To stick to your damn plan. There's your priority. That's your no BS work. So for all of us, we have to remember not everything gets equal importance. When you take that away, guess what happens? Suddenly, you get really clear what you should do next. It's easier to pick things. And you're not as overwhelmed. You give yourself a GPS. The third biggest time waster, notifications. Lord help me, I get so upset. You want to like aggravate the fuck out of Corinne? Have a phone with every fucking notification in the world turned on and let it light up like a Christmas tree when I'm in the room. And it's bad enough that it's like, bleh, bleh, and then it's like buzzing like a fucking vibrator. Ladies, there is only one place in the world we need a good vibrator. And this son of a bitch ain't it. You all know how I feel about the guaranteed winner. I don't think our phone can stand the chance next to that thing. So turn off your damn notifications. Like, I have very few on my phone. The ones that actually, like right now, my car is sending me a notification. I happen to have a Tesla. not by choice. That is Mr. Crabtree's favorite car. I relinquished like a wilted flower on that one. But the damn thing is trying to tell me that my cabin temperature is now at the desired temperature. Why the fuck do I care? But Corinne hadn't figured out how to turn off that notification. I just ignore them. You know the only notifications I have on my phone? I do get texts, but there's only two people in the world that get a noise on my phone. That's Chris Crabtree and Logan Crabtree. I do have it set that if the boys text me, I hear it. Just because now that my baby drives, baby Jesus in the golden diaper, please ride shotgun with him every single time he leaves his house. Thank you very much. So I have it on because I don't want my baby out there somewhere rear-ending someone or some jackass rear-ending him or whatever and me not know the second he needs me. So I do have those on, but I'm super selective. You will not see my phone light up with what's going on News Channel 5, what's happening in Apple News. My apps don't light up like a motherfucker. None of that shit. You know what I do? I open apps to see if I have notifications because I don't want to waste my time. I figure if something's happening in Facebook, when I check my notifications, I'll know. I have a Slack app, which is just like where all of my businesses, like I've got nine different groups I belong to. This is for my businesses. I've got one for Project U. I've got like one for a bajillion things. Guess what? I just check the app. If I had this thing light up every single time, I would get nothing done in my life other than check notifications. I don't even have my calendar notify me. Now, that's me. But this is what I'm telling you. You need to check how many notifications you've got going off. I have none on my computer screen. When I'm working on my laptop, when I am working on my computer, I don't want to know anything. I want to be focused because it takes your brain 23 minutes to get fully back on task after any interruption. So every time something lights up, ding, ding, a notification, anything, you're breaking your stride. And it takes your brain 23 minutes to get back to where it should be. All right. The next one. The biggest time waster is a lack of breaks. And now this is where I think most women are guilty. There was a study from the Oklahoma University, and they showed that the human brain needs about a 15-minute break every hour. That doesn't mean that like work. Oh, it's break time. And we meditate and have Zen for 15 minutes. The way my husband does it and the way I do it is I work a certain cycle. Chris actually has a notification go off on his computer at the time he should take breaks. I think he told us on week one, he does it every 54 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. I just work. And when I start running out of steam, I notice it's between the 45-minute to 50-minute window. I get up. I usually go to the bathroom. I will like do a couple of dishes. Sometimes I will, like if Logan's out, I'll talk to him for a few minutes. Sometimes I'll go to my closet. I'll put away my clothes from the morning. Like right now, my bathroom is a wreck from getting ready. A lot of like my next break, I would probably go in there and I'd put all my makeup and stuff back up. So take a quick break. You can do short walks. You can do a household task. You can go to your break room and grab some water. For all of you who have a hard time drinking water, if you would take a regular break, you go to pee, you get some water, start over again. That would be really good for you. But most people don't realize how much time they're wasting by not giving breaks. And then the next thing they know, they're like, oh, I'm tired. Oh, shit, I can barely focus. I wonder what Banana Republic's got going on. Let me check all them notifications. And then you spend 25 or 30 minutes dicking around, going down a rabbit hole of bullshit, not realizing you've been scrolling Instagram for about 20 minutes, when if you had just taken a structured 15-minute break, you would come back to your work refreshed instead of staying on your computer and taking a work break and doing some other work and then coming back and then working slower and slower and slower as the day goes on. The next time waster is overscheduling. Jammed schedules make us think that we are very short on time. And this is called time famine. So when you have, just like I will tell you, like today in particular, just seeing my calendar first thing this morning and seeing like, from 9 until 2, I don't even have a pee break scheduled. The first thing is my brain is like, there's not enough time to get my keynotes done today. I'll never get done everything I needed to. Now I'm only working without a break from 9 to 2. But my brain reads that as from 4:45 until 9 o'clock and from 2 until 5, we're just out of time. We're so busy. There's no breaks. That we have to guard against. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're not packing our schedule without discerning the difference between what needs to be on there versus what's people pleasing. What are we not saying no to that we need to? Where are we committing to things just to look good in front of other people? This ties back to the prioritization and making sure that when your schedule is jam-packed, and I do this, I go through my schedule routinely, especially when I have back-to-back busy, really busy days where I notice I feel like I'm having time famine. I go through and I ask myself, why are these things on my calendar? Why am I saying yes to this? Is there a way to get out of this in the future? What do I need to start saying no to? I have started saying no to more and more things because I notice patterns. Very often, when you become somebody who's really good at managing your time, you get really good at managing your time because at one point, you sucked at it. You just sucked at it. It's just like, I want more time to be able to do things around my house. I want more time to be able to spend some time with Logan. I do not want such jam-packed schedules that I can't have 15 minutes to talk to him when I know he's going to be in the kitchen, usually eating his breakfast or lunch. So I have been looking at things. So productive people usually have space on their calendar. And when you have space on your calendar, now you've opened yourself up for being able to say yes to some spontaneous things that you would really like to do. For instance, I got invited next week to a speaking engagement. And I had to say no because of other things that I had committed to. I am missing a really good opportunity because my calendar was filled with stuff that I had already committed to. It was overpacked and I couldn't move things around. Not without looking like a dickhead. I was like really sad about it because it was a big opportunity for me. And it happened to be last minute. And so this was one of those times where I was like, okay, let's look at next week's calendar and figure out how do we not put ourselves in this position again? How do we start making sure that when big opportunities are coming that you want, you can say yes to them? And I think a lot of you are like me. It's like there are times when your kid wants to do something with you. There are times when a friend calls you up and says, hey, we're going to, you know, on Friday night, we're going to go do this thing or on Saturday afternoon or whatever. And we stay so committed to so many things that we never question that we miss out on social opportunities, work opportunities, children opportunities, family opportunities. So for all of you, take a look at where you spend your time. The other thing I wanted to cover in this section is like how to say no like a boss instead of like a butt to things, because it's not easy to say no. Like whenever I say no, I always feel terrible. I am one of those people who loves to be generous with my time. I love to take care of people. I love to be generous with my time. I love to help people. And I hate more than anything when somebody wants my help on something and I just can't do it. So here's three ways. The first one is to say, thank you for thinking of me, but I need to say no. That'll wait, because a lot of times we think if we're going to tell somebody no, we have to just be like, I can't do it. You know, it's just a no. It's like, no, you can always say, thank you for thinking of me, but I have to be a no. The second way you could always say is, I'm already committed to something else, but I really appreciate the offer. I have started using that a lot. Even if my calendar is not full, what I am committed to is having space so that I don't, number one, I was telling my coach this the other day, that I've spent this year showing up for things with dread and regret for saying yes. And that I needed to learn how to say no more this year, because I just don't want to spend another year showing up for things and missing out on my own life. I can't tell you how many vacations I didn't take this year because I got jammed up. You know, we just couldn't find a weekend that I could go anywhere. How many times, like, I haven't been down to see my mother at all this year. I've seen my mother. She's come here. But she even built me an office in her little house. She rearranged a room so that I could work from there. I have not had an opportunity to go down because I end up saying yes to so many things that I have to say no to my own mother. I don't like that. I don't want another year like that. I want to be able to see my mama while she's here. So we have to think about those things. Then the third one is, let me check my schedule, and then you send a friendly email saying no. For some of us, it's really hard to say no to someone's face. And if you don't have it within you, then don't just say yes. Say, let me check my schedule, and then get your balls and get your courage up. And then you send the friendly no in the email. And that's kind of where I had to start, because it was really hard for me to say no to someone's face. All right. The next one is not using short bursts. We waste a lot of time not using those tiny moments. Remember when I was telling you the 2 to 10 minute tasks in the very first week that we were together, making sure that you never say the words like, I only have 10 minutes. And then next thing you know, you're blowing through some Instagram reels. You're on the TikTok, scrolling to Facebook, or you're sitting there for 10 minutes feeling sorry for yourself because you don't have time to do something. Figure out what your 2 to 10 minute tasks are going to be. If you've got 15 minutes, then do something that you can get done in 10 to 15 or 2 to 15 minutes, 2 to 10 minutes. The next time waster, number 7, managing time versus managing your energy. And this is when you realize that your best hours aren't spent the same as your best hours, so, or your tired hours. And that's what I was talking about in the beginning. When I plan my day, I don't put the most taxing work at the end of the day. I put the most taxing work at the beginning of the day because I have more focus. I put things that I can just kind of do, like those keynotes. There's a lot of focus required. So what I do is I proofread them and read them for clarity. And I take a fresh look at what I have in the mornings. And in the afternoons, it's just copy and pasting and making sure the pictures and everything is aligned. But I don't make sure that it makes sense. I don't do the higher level work then. I do that in the morning. Here's a really good question. I want to answer this one quickly, Lisa. How do you schedule for an amazing opportunity if you're not sure it's coming? We never know when opportunities are coming. So here's what we do. We do like what we're talking. You have to keep some space open on your calendar sometimes. You shouldn't have it jam-packed all the time. I also structure my calendar to where, you know, like next week, I'm just losing out on a major opportunity. So what I did was I went through and I looked at my calendar. I was like, why do I have so many things that are set in stone that can't be moved to have to be able to need to say no to something? That made me think about, where do I need to get flexible? Maybe I need to do things different. Maybe I need to set different things up. Like one thing was, I have a bunch of calls on those days. And I was going to have to fly in really early, set up shop in a hotel room, do all my calls. And one of the things I told Chris is, you know, one of the biggest problems I have when I travel on the road and I try to do Zoom calls is I don't have a good mic and I don't have good light. And he's ordering me a package so that if I'm on the road and I need to do my calls, it can still look and sound good. One of the things I will do calls on the road, but I hate doing calls on the road because it never looks and sounds as good as it does at home. So a lot of times I don't like to do that. Another thing that I noticed was that one of the reasons I had to say no was because on my laptop, if I need to like share my screen and stuff, it doesn't work as well as it does on my computer. So he's also ordering me a smaller side monitor. So for trips like this with a case that I could put in a suitcase where I could travel with an easy plug-in monitor, that way I could do work. I could be productive if I'm not in my home. So like one of the things I want you to think about is you may have to say no to some opportunities, but you have to question, why are you having to say no? And how do you build out to make it easier to say yes to future opportunities? What's standing in my way and how can I overcome it? That's always the most powerful questions. And then also when we go back to managing your time versus your energy, track your peak performance time and work on things that matter the most in that time. So like for me, I like to do my food planning first thing in the morning because I probably won't do it later in the day. I'm never going to plan my food for the next day at night. That's not how I roll. I do not like doing that stuff at night, so I don't expect myself to do it at night. Whenever I am, like if I'm going to be doing, like I was just doing the workbook for y'all for camp. I've spent the last few mornings, first thing in the morning, I'm going through the worksheets and I'm doing all the worksheets myself. That's emotional work. That's me digging around and like thinking and, you know, thinking about my thoughts, thinking about my feelings. I don't want to do that stuff in the afternoons. I'm tired. I don't want to be digging around in my emotions in the afternoon. I'm going to half-ass doing it if I do it in the afternoon. I know me and I won't do it in the evenings. So I've been doing it first thing in the morning. Because when I clean my brain out first thing in the morning, when I do all that work first thing in the morning, I do better work. So it's like really looking for when are your peak performance times, put the most important stuff during peak performance. During your tired times, put the stuff in that doesn't require perfection. Like if I'm going to be doing dishes, you better believe it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's during the time of day. I don't need to be a perfect diva and tons of focus to do some dishes. To wipe down the fridge, like stuff like that, I don't have to do that during peak performance. Perfectionism is another time waster. So have different levels of done. We do this on my team. So for all of you, one of the things that we do, and this can work for anyone, I don't care if you're retired or if you have a baby or what, think about the things in your house, the things in your job, the projects you have, and have a different level of done. So there are certain things in my life that are A-level work. Like camp keynotes is A-level work. Content I create, A-level work. Showing up for a call is A-level work. Y'all, my sinuses are so bad right now. This morning I was just full of snot. Now I'm just itchy. So then you have B-level work. B-level work means I don't need it to be perfect. So clean up my kitchen is B-level, is actually C-level work for me. So B-level work is how I put my clothes away. I want it orderly, but I'm not going to sit there and perfect it at the expense of other things. So you just look around in your life. You look around at your list. You look around at your job and your task, and you think like, all right, what deserves my A-level work? This is my best work. What gets my B-level work? Pretty good, but I don't have to make it perfect. I just need to get it done. C-level work is just get it done. It doesn't matter how you ship that in. Just finish. And that is a lot of prioritization. So number 8 for Candy is perfectionism is one of the biggest time wasters. Everything isn't equally important. And everything isn't equally needing to be done to perfection either. Number 9, trying to do it all yourself is another big time waster. Where you can, ask people to help. Some of you can buy time by outsourcing things. So as you all know, I have an amazing sister-in-law. I wish I could clone her. If I could, I would. Next year, we have 2 camps. One is about body image, the body revolution, and the other one is how to be the queen of your own damn life. If there was a way to clone JJ and send her in the swag box, you better believe I would. But JJ, I can't clone her. I don't have those magical powers yet. But a long time ago, I wanted to work more. And I was tired of food prepping and cleaning my house on Sundays. And my sister-in-law wasn't working. My niece was, I believe Lexi was in high school at this point. And JJ's a good cook. And I asked her one day, I said, what do you think about coming to my house a few days a week and take care of the laundry, take care of the house, cook all of our food, and we'll pay you? And she said, I think that would be amazing. Because she was at this point where she was thinking about possibly getting a job. But she didn't want to because she wanted to be available for Lexi. And she liked being able to take care of her family. So she just kind of lumped us up underneath her wing as I'm going to take care of your family too. And she has been doing that for us for the last, I think we're about 5 years in now. I mean, it's been a minute since this all started. And we just pay her. And it has been the best gift ever. Like, y'all want to know why I can do the legacy calls and the 2 hours of coaching every Sunday and do a lot that I do? It's because at some point I had to decide I needed to get rid of some things. Now, not everybody can use money to buy time. Some of us can and some of us can't. But before I did that, guess what I did? I asked for help. I was not ashamed to ask Chris to like, hey, I don't like folding clothes. Will you do that? Will you put clothes away? I'm all about washing them, but I suck at the folding of them. And he did. A lot of us are dying on the sword of not wanting to ask for help. I have, there's a no BS woman, Lindsay Ritchie. She's been with us for a long, long time. You don't see her post very much anymore, but she's been with me since like 2009. And she got together with a group of the moms in her neighborhood. They were all stay-at-home moms. And so that they could spend more time with their kids, one of them does food prep every Sunday and does a massive one. And so she not only cooks for her family, she cooks for 3 other families and delivers the food. And they take turns one Sunday a month so that the other 3 Sundays, all the food is done by someone else. So a lot of times it's just kind of getting clever about this stuff. It's about thinking about what you can get help with. Where are you not asking friends and family and why? And make sure you really like your reasons or that your reasons are really true. So many of you actually have amazing partners who would help, but you're not asking them to because you think it would be wrong. And then when I question you on a coaching call, you tell me, if I asked, they would do it. I just don't. Now, and I know that there's a smaller percentage of you, or some of you, you don't have those people in your life. Still try to figure out what you can and can't do for yourself. See if there is any possible place at the very least, if you literally have no one in the world who's willing to help you and you don't have the financial resources, please be using Ask Coaches. Please have an accountability group. Because very often what I find is that those people, you get stuck in the loop of, I have to do everything myself, which means I have to lose the weight by myself. I have to work my own problems out by myself. And you don't even use the resources that you have inside the membership to at least help you with accountability and when you have a question. So just watch when you are saying, I have no help. Let's make sure we can get you something. Another time waster is asking for tons of opinions. I call it the 40% rule, but I'm going to give y'all the 80% rule because I know most of you are not as ballsy and risk-taking as I am, but I have just learned over time that fucking things up is never nearly as detrimental as we all think it is. And most of the time, the things that I've screwed up, I've learned enough to get it right the next time. And I don't want to ever, there's lots of things I've tried that I didn't think would work and they did, and they worked spectacularly. So I like to be fast versus slow, but asking tons of opinions about whether you should do something is a complete waste of time because nobody fucking knows until you try something if it's going to work. So this is what I tell people. If you're 80% sure it could work, you do it. And you go with your gut instead of asking 10 more people, what do they think? And then getting conflicting opinions and then having to start all the way fuck over. And then when you try things and they don't work, do not beat yourself up. Figure out what didn't work and what you need to do to fix it. Or say, that didn't work, I'm moving on. But you will be successful faster. Your success will be determined at the rate at which you're willing to try things. The faster you're willing to try things and see if it works, the faster you're going to lose your weight and the faster you're going to get results in your life. The longer you sit and contemplate and wonder and ask for opinions and mull and debate with yourself and wait for 100% sure a surety and all that kind of shit, slower it's going to be. The slower it's going to be. And then number 11, the biggest time waster of all, in my opinion, is neglecting your self-care. When you neglect your self-care, you send a signal to yourself that you don't matter. And if you don't matter, then you're going to fill your calendar with bullshit and stuff to avoid spending time with you. So making sure that you figure out how to take care of yourself, how to send a signal. Like a lot of you have self-worth issues, things like that. One of the easiest ways to overcome that shit is to do some type of self-care so that your body knows she cares enough to put me back on the list. And the act of it will make you even think sometimes, I'm worth this. There's a part of me that believes I must be worth it if I'm doing it. And that's what I want for you. All right. That is your 11 time wasters. Stay out of those ugly traps. What I would love is for you to go to the Facebook group and share one thing that you've learned about your time this month. Some of you, I'd love for you to post if you found a little bit more time that you didn't think you had. Share anything that you've learned about this month. And I'm going to answer the last question and we'll get out of here. How do we track peak performance? Do you have a recommended process? I don't. I just do it by my gut. I know when I'm working and it feels like I'm in a flow, or if it feels easy, I notice I'm not distracted easily and stuff. That's my peak performance time. I can tell in my body what feels like a slog, what feels harder, where I have to really catch myself dicking around and all that kind of stuff. It's not really a process. It's more about noticing that when you're doing activities, how's your body responding? And I'm a big believer in going through how is your body responding to things, not like, is there like certain indicators? For me, it's just like, I know it's peak performance time if I'm like, I look up and 2 hours have passed, or I look up and I'm like, wow, I got a lot done. I know it's not peak performance when I'm feeling like, ooh, like I really had, like I didn't get as much done as I thought. I was, dicking around, looking like I pop on social. Like that's me. I can always tell when I'm not in peak performance time. Next thing you know, I'm like, I should really check the membership and see what's going on in the Facebook group. I ain't nothing going on in there. You know what's going on? I don't want to work on this. That's what's going on. Because I have plenty of time to check on y'all at the end of the day. So that's how I do it. All right. Y'all have a good one. And I will not be seeing you this Sunday. This Sunday will be Coach MJ. Guess what this week is? My baby on Halloween is turning 21. And this Sunday, we're doing the breakfast. He is not a big birthday boy. He just wanted to have breakfast with his mom and his daddy. We're going to take him to breakfast. We're going to spend some time together on Sunday. Of course, you know, Logan, he ain't going to drink. He thinks me and Chris are insane for drinking. He is like, he's above all of it. He doesn't want his brain compromised, as he says. And he doesn't like setting himself up to possibly feel out of control at all. So, but I'm going to have a 21-year-old child. And so we are going to take him to breakfast and we're going to spend some time with him on Sunday. So you will have Coach MJ coaching this Sunday. Enjoy her. She is always a hoot. And I will see y'all next Wednesday. Bye, y'all.